Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
Good Friday morning, everybody. Welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts right here on News Talk 1400 DWS. Glad you're with us, enjoying the sunshine a little bit anyway. Here in downtown Champaign, as Michael mentioned, 66 degrees here at our studios in downtown. Hope you're ready for a great weekend. We have a busy show for you again today, as we do every day, between your phone calls, emails, and texts that we take every day. And certainly we'll get to all of those as we work our way through this Friday morning. We're on the 18th of May now. And the number is 356-9397, the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357, and you can email us at talk@wdws.com. Coming up in this first hour, first 45, 50 minutes, we'll visit with you. We've got an open line. So if there's a hot topic on your mind that you want to bring up, certainly feel free to do that. A little bit of a incident down in Doral, Florida, involving one of the Trump resorts this morning. We'll talk about that. You heard CBS News mention an incident at the top of their coverage as well. Of course, the royal wedding taking place early tomorrow morning. They'll be in high gear at this time tomorrow. Of course, the coverage of that's going to start very early in the morning, I think 3 or 4 in the morning, on a lot of the networks. So you can get ready for that. If you think back to the wedding of Charles and Diana, then, of course, of Will and Kate Middleton, that occurred, 7 years ago now? They've got 3 children now. And you've got Harry, Prince Harry, of course, and Meghan Markle. That's the big day tomorrow. We'll talk more in depth about that with an expert, a royal watcher, someone who has written about this family, the royal family. And we'll give some interesting facts, I think, about the royal wedding and so forth, everything that's happening with Professor Seal Otness from over at the University of Illinois. She's with the Geese College of Business at the university, but also an avid royal expert. So we'll have her on in hour number 2. But your open line phone calls here in this first hour on a Friday. And then Carol Verrell is going to stop by and say hello for a couple of minutes. She is retired, of course, from our newsroom, but is still working. She, in regards to the folks with Crime Stoppers, she does that. She's on their board and helps them out a lot. And is going to be doing some writing in the News Gazette on Sunday about a cold case from decades ago. And we'll let her preview that for a few minutes near the end of this first hour today. But then the royal wedding in hour number 2. Your comments welcome along the way. Feel free to send those along either by phone, email, or text. We'll get it started on a Friday. Thank God it's Friday, as they always say, right? TGIF. We'll get to it next after this opening timeout. We're on Penny for Your Thoughts. News Talk 1400 DWS. The floor is yours here for most of this first hour. Carol Verrell will pop in at the end of the hour and give us a quick preview of what she's writing about on a cold case that she's working on with some of the details of that. But we'll take your open line phone calls here in the first part of the show all the way up till about 9:45, 9:50. We'll talk royal wedding with Professor from the University of Illinois, Seal Otness. She is an expert on the royal family, the big royal wedding tomorrow morning. And we got the news a little bit ago that I guess Prince Charles is going to be your father-in-law, is going to walk her at least a part of the way down the aisle towards the end. So that'll be interesting to watch that early tomorrow morning. 356-9397 is the phone number. And you can email us, talk@wdws.com. Swanson Roofing, of course, one of our sponsors, Corey Swanson. You know him. He's from Rantoul High School in the University of Illinois. He and his wife, Melissa, it's a 100% owned family business. So we appreciate their sponsorship of Penny for Your Thoughts and the fact that they're local. Every job site, 100% cleaned up, one of our strongest attributes of Swanson Roofing. All of the crew are company employees. They receive full benefits and 401ks. They've been with the company for many years, so they want every customer to be totally satisfied with their new roof. And Swanson Roofing guarantees the workmanship for the lifetime of your roof, and the materials they used are guaranteed for 50 years. Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, providing services in Champaign, Vermilion, Ford, and McLean counties. And here's a key thing. Even if they didn't do your roof before, they're happy to come out and look at it, fix any problems you might have. So it's not a possessive thing. They're certainly willing to come out. If somebody else did your roof years ago and you need repair, give Swanson Roofing a call. Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, 217-355-ROOF, or visit Swanson Roofing online at theroofingdog.com. Let's see, got a text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. Says, I'd like to hear your take from someone in the media. How can you report on news like we just heard about a woman jumping to her death with her son with zero emotion? As far as the news story? Well, I mean, it's hard when you hear stories like that. But as a professional, your job is to report the news. Now, one of the hardest things I've had to do when our friend Dave Shawl, of course, was on here for many, many years, passed away, that was one of the hardest stories I had to read ever on the air, was to read that story. I mean, that was a dear friend who just lost, and to read a story like that in a news fashion was very, very hard. But I don't know. I think it's just as a professional, you just read the story in front of you, and that's your job. I don't know how else to say it. All right, let's go back to the phones. We're at 914. Mark. Hey, Mark, good morning. How are you?
Fine, Ryan. How are you?
What's going on?
I wanted to talk to you about the proposed, at least the ACC proposing an expansion to the NCAA tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to know what you think after I tell you what I think.
Okay.
I think it's a horrible idea. It's completely the wrong direction. We don't need to go further toward participation trophies. That's what the bowl games have become. And I think if any direction, they should reduce the number of teams that make the tournament.
Go back down, huh?
Yeah. Correct. The only thing expanding it does, it doesn't improve the tournament by any stretch of the imagination. It only preserves coaches' jobs, which shouldn't be the purpose of the tournament. The tournament should be to find a national championship, find out who's the best, and you don't do that by letting in more mediocre teams. It's too easy to make the tournament now. One signature win and a mediocre season and you're in. It devalues the regular season. So there's just a lot of reasons to hate that proposal.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what you think.
Well, they're going from, what, 68 to 72 is what they were talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't like it either. I don't think it'd be a good idea. I agree with you. I think there are too many teams that are, and it's the same way with the bowl games. There's too many teams that are maybe average or just slightly above average that, you know, I think it kind of waters it down. So I kind of like the number where it's at. I'm okay with 68, but I think 72 would be too many. I agree with you.
Well, thank you, Brian.
How about that?
I mentioned that this morning.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you did. You doing okay otherwise?
Yeah, otherwise I'm doing great.
Great.
Just out for a little morning walk. Take care, Brian.
All right, take care. Thanks, Mark.
All right, take care.
It's Mark down in Florida. Haven't heard from him in a while. 356-9397. You can join us on the phone lines today. You can email us at talk@wdws.com. Yeah, when you get down to those final few teams that are all like, 19 and 12 or 19 and 13, and they finished at or below 500 in their conference, I don't know. I mean, sure, Syracuse made a terrific run a couple of years ago all the way to the Final Four from that kind of position, got in basically as the last team. But I do think it waters it down some. And if you're Illinois, and I'm an Illinois fan, obviously, I do the games, if we can be 6-6 and get to a bowl game, I'm excited about that. That's great. But if you're outside of here, if you're in Illinois and watching Fresno State at 6-6, you're not that interested in watching them play, unless you're a diehard college football fan, which I enjoy the game, so I'll probably tune it in. But there probably are too many teams and probably not enough teams in that they need to go to 8 teams in the college football playoff instead of 4. So they ought to expand that and leave the NCAA where it is. How's that? Let's go back to the phones. 918 here, open line going. Let's go to Liz. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. I'm calling about a friend of mine that lives in Champaign, and she's had her news gazette delivered to her door. She's handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a notice that they were no longer delivered to the door. They'll throw it in the drive.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's very wrong to do people that way. And the mailbox, she lives in a condo section, so the mailbox is way out down the street where it's a cluster of the mailboxes. And that's not handy because she gets her mail delivered to her door. And so she called and they said, well, there's nothing they can do about it. And she said, well, then we'll have to stop the paper. She said, then I guess I'll have to get up and go drive and get me a paper every morning.
Yeah, well, I knew there's some delivery policies they've changed overall, and that's unfortunate that it affects your friend in that way. I know that I'm going to try to have...
it'll affect a lot of people.
Oh, I'm sure it does. I'm going to try to have... I've got John Reed. I'm going to try to get him on in the next week or so,
okay.
And we can talk to him about it and have him kind
Thank
of explain
you.
It as the head guy. So,
thank you very much.
Okay.
Have a good day.
You too, Liz. Thank you. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phone lines, as those callers have done, both Mark and Liz. Text from Benny says, good morning, Brian. I don't get to attend a lot of Illinois baseball games. My roommate took me last night. Illinois Field is a great place to watch college baseball. And last night was a great atmosphere. The Illini beating Nebraska last night. Illinois already in the Big Ten tournament. But figuring out what seed they will be and when they will play. We'll have that Big Ten tournament action for you in the middle of next week with Dave Lohn. But, yeah, it's a fun place to watch a game. I know that Dan Hartlib has talked a lot about they do need to upgrade it. I think that's a given compared to a lot of the other Big Ten schools. And Josh Whitman and his team are all aware of that. So it's a matter of timing and finances and donors and so forth. I'm sure there's a lot in the mix there, and they've also got several other projects going on too, but it is a great place to watch a game, but obviously I think it also needs to be upgraded, and I think everybody kind of agrees with that. 356-9397. Let's go to the phones to Alan. Hey.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
I'm kind of in agreement with you about going up to 72. I mean, I didn't even want to go up to 60. You're always going to have these last four or five teams that think they should be in it, or, you know, there's always going to be some unhappiness. I don't care where, if you go up to 80 or 90, 96, there'll always be some teams think they should be in there. And if you get to that point, you might as well just let everybody in like they did in high school.
Yeah. Well, my thinking is that, you know, the conference tournaments for a lot of these smaller conferences, it's kind of, it is the NCAA tournament. I mean, they're only going to get one bid, and they're playing teams at their own level. So I think that works anyway. It kind of works as the national tournament, even with all the individual conference tournaments.
We even have that same problem with football. Everybody wants to go up to 8 and maybe even possibly 10 or 12. Well, then you're going to have teams that think they should be in there. Number 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to have somebody complaining about being left out.
Yeah, I think with college football, though, they could do the five power conferences. You're champion of each of those leagues and then take three at large. And I think that would work pretty well, I think.
Central Florida should have been in there last year.
Mm-hmm.
I have to agree with that.
Yep.
But those things, you know, kind of rare, I guess.
All right, anything else?
No, that's it.
Thank you, Alan.
Yep.
Have a great weekend. We're going to talk royal wedding in hour number two. See a lot in this from over at the University of Illinois. So if you have any questions, see, I know two or three things about the royal wedding, but I don't have the knowledge that our expert's going to have. So if you have some questions, anything related to the royal wedding, why this, how that, what about this, I don't like that, that's what we'll be talking about in hour number two. All right, but open line right now. Let's go back to the phones again here at 922 to Joe. Good morning, Joe. Hello, Joe. Slow walking Joe. Wasn't that Petticoat Junction? Hello? Not there. Okay. Got a text in, Castle Heating and Cooling text line. You guys do a pretty good job at keeping your political opinions under wraps, but Elizabeth S. is really pushing the envelope. It's not what I want to hear first thing in the morning. That is text in Tom from Charleston. Just into our text line, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357 is how you can join us there, as Tom did down in Charleston. Back to the phones. Jim, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Article in the paper today about the university needs to hire a few hundred more people and be competitive with the others and pay these huge salaries. And the problem we've got is they're paying too many salaries now. I mean, industry is not paying these kind of salaries. Secondly, nobody mentions they hire these wonderful professors and overpay them in order to keep them, and then the pension system has to eat them at a later date with that 3% compounded interest, and they're already talking about passing that on to the counties and having our real estate taxes go up 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%. You don't know where that crazy thing is going to go. You know, we've let our state legislator pull a Ponzi scheme and get us in trouble. The federal government's pulled a Ponzi scheme. Madoff ought to be out on a pedestal somewhere. He is an amateur compared to these idiots in Washington, D.C. and in Springfield that know exactly how to steal from the public.
Hmm.
It's just upsetting.
Yeah, well, there is some pension issues that some people talk about, obviously. And, you know, the last year, I guess, now because of the budget fight, they had no pay raises in 2016. They had a 2% mid-year salary program in 17, 1% this year. The retirement system adds another challenge. Faculty members hired since 2011 are part of the state's Tier 2 pension system. They're talking about retention of people in the future. But you say, I mean, even if the student body's growing, don't increase the number of professors? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay.
They're using assistants to do the teaching anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Those professors don't work near as much as they need to be working.
Yeah. Well,
that's just my complaint.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Appreciate it. 925. See, that's what we like. Open line. Hey, if something's on your mind, you want to mention something been bothering you or something you've been thinking about, this is your forum. We'll come back with more after this on Penny for Your Thoughts. Give us your thoughts. We're on a Friday morning, Penny for Your Thoughts, on the Royal Wedding Eve. We'll talk about the Royal Wedding in the next hour. If you have some open line questions here in the first hour, feel free to send them our way. We've talked a little bit about U of I pensions, about political views, about Illinois Field. All of that has been fair game today. If you have something you want to add to the conversation, feel free to do that. Agriculture, of course, an industry with unique banking needs. Put your trust in Busey Ag Services and Farm Brokerage, and partner with the financial organization who understands your agribusiness. Busey's first opened its doors more than 150 years ago. The organization doesn't claim to be strong. Busey's strength is in its numbers, not just to be strong, but in numbers. More than 90,000 acres under management, 9-member ag services team with more than 130 years of combined experience. From farm management to brokerage and lending, Busey provides a full range of products and services to meet your need. Busey can assist farmland real estate brokerage firms with the sale or purchase of properties, market analysis, market studies, and Busey provides lending solutions. Cultivate the future of your farm with the professionals at Busey Ag Services and Farm Brokerage. See how Busey can maximize the yield on your investment. Call 1-800-67-BUSEY or visit Busey.com today. By the way, the trustees did meet recently. The new 5-year hiring plan that our caller was referring to is designed to keep up with enrollment growth and make up for slow faculty hiring during the state's 2-year budget crisis. Departments also faced aggressive recruiting of top UI professors by other universities, even as the U of I system, which courses Urbana-Champaign, Chicago, and Springfield, absorbed 5,600 more students, a 7% increase. Net faculty growth after retirements and resignations was just above 2%, or 139 professors, more than half of them not part of the tenure system. That's according to U of I President Tim Colleen. You can read all about that in the News Gazette with the Julie Wirth's coverage of that. Does a great job covering the University of Illinois. Well, covering the rest of the news for us is Michael Kaiser. He's standing by with news headlines. You going to watch the royal wedding tomorrow?
What time morning? Is it?
That starts about 3 or 4 in the morning. The pregame show.
Yeah, I'll be nowhere near awake. I get up at 4 something throughout the week, and unless my 9-month-old daughter wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning,
okay,
I will not be awake. And right. Now she probably will that I've said that. She's going to make sure she wakes up so I am up.
I think the wedding itself is about 6 a.m. or so.
Yeah, I still probably won't watch it. if it was noon tomorrow, I probably still wouldn't watch it. So, but it is huge across the country in America. And on the wedding that it isn't here, people are really enamored with it. They're infatuated with it. It's just, you hear it on the CBS News every day this week. So especially with Meghan Markle's father situation, that was
an American marrying into the royal family.
Yeah.
So
not all of us get to do that.
That's right. 9:32, Michael Kaiser, news headlines, and then back with more phone calls. Carol Verrell stops in for a couple of minutes here towards the end of the hour to preview something she's doing in the News Gazette on Sunday. But Michael here next.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk@wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
We're on a Friday, Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS, open line going here for a little bit more, and then we'll have Carol Verrell come in for a couple minutes, update something she's working on for the weekend. By the way, the suspect involved in that shooting in Santa Fe, Texas, has been arrested and secured, and they say injuries are reported, according to the school district. So we'll keep you updated on that story from CBS News. If you've had a collision any time recently, you know it's a serious matter, and Dave Miller and Bill Gallo know it is a serious matter. They're passionate about their business. 18 years in the car repair business. They've repaired over 23,000 vehicles and counting. Dave and Bill can tell you everything they'd like to hear, you'd like to hear about collision repair, but they'd rather prove it, and their motto is where action speaks louder than words. And let's face it, when you have an accident, your mind is racing. You're thinking, okay, how dumb was I? What did I do wrong? Oh, my goodness, that guy is this or that. I mean, what were they thinking? I mean, you're just not in a good mood, all right? Everybody knows that. I've had it happen to me 2 or 3 times. It's not fun. But if you want to just get peace of mind, turn the keys over to Dave and Bill, Dave Miller and Bill Gallo, over at Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair. Everything. They'll work with the insurance. You'll get your vehicle back to where it needs to be, and it'll be done in a timely fashion. So just turn the keys over to them and let them help you out after a collision. They hope you do not need them, but if you do, they're at gallomiller.com, and they're located on the south side of I-74 between the Neal Street and Prospect exits, and free estimates are always offered. Back to the phones, and let's go to Kay. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you today?
I'm good. Terrible, terrible thing about that shooting in Texas. Wow.
Oh, I know.
Sad. 2 weeks ago, Stan called you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he had to ask you to hold a minute because the cops were driving by and he was on the phone. Sound like he was in his car driving with his phone on.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
I just thought that was not right. And I would suggest, if you don't mind, next time someone calls that's driving and talking on the phone, that you ask them to call back when they can talk without being on the phone.
Or tell them to pull over.
Right.
Tell them to pull over. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't think I should have carried on the conversation. That bothered me for a couple of days.
Well, I'm sorry it did. Yeah, I don't know when... When people call in, I don't think Ed, you know, on a cell phone, Ed doesn't ask them whether they're driving or not. But sometimes you can kind of tell by the ambiance.
Right, and he asked you to hold on so he could, you know, act like he wasn't on the phone while the cops went by. But that wasn't a very good example of Stan to put out there for everybody.
Yeah, my guess is that he's probably not the only one that happens with. So.
No, I'm sure not. Yeah. But
okay.
to be right there on the phone and telling about it. I didn't. I thought that was kind of bad. Just my opinion. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kay.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Appreciate it. 9:42. Open line conversation here today. We're going to talk royal wedding in hour number two. So we'll go full bore on that with Seal Otness from the University of Illinois. Let's go to Don. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. I just wanted to make a comment. Last night I was able to tour the Champlain Police Department.
Yeah.
And very excellent tour. Really proud of what Champaign City has to offer and all the services. And just wanted to give them guys a real thumbs up. They did a really good job and kind of eye-opening.
Yeah, so when you walked in there, what did you learn that you maybe didn't think about or know?
Just all the activities they've got going on and how many different special units they have going on at, you know, between the SWAT and dog patrols, the bomb squad, you know, and everybody is both working on patrol and, you know, volunteering for special services or, you know, special assignments. So it was just very, just real eye-opening tour.
Yeah.
Appreciate to see it.
Good. Did you get to meet Chief Cobb then? Was Chief Cobb there? Did you get to see him?
No, the chief wasn't there at the time we were, but everybody they met was, I don't remember all their names, but they were all very nice. You know, any questions you ask, they tried to answer.
Boy, that's a 24/7 operation, isn't it, police?
Yes, it is.
So, kind of like hospitals.
And they did an excellent job.
All right. Hey, very good, Don.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. A lot of good open line conversation today. We're at 9:44, a variety of topics. Good luck to the Illini men's tennis team, by the way, in NCAA Sweet 16. They're down in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. They're playing TCU in the Sweet 16, I think at 3 o'clock today. So good luck to the Illini men's tennis team. Good luck to baseball as they play Nebraska. We'll have that coverage for you tonight here on DWS with Dave Lone. And Steve and Lauren, Steve Kelly, Lauren Tate at the Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast. That's going on. The Pancake Breakfast is at Bromley Hall early tomorrow morning and then throughout the morning. But they'll be there 9 to 11, so stop by and say hello and get some pancakes and sausage, all you can eat. 9:45, back with more. Penny for your thoughts after this. Penny for your thoughts. We've had an open line going here this first hour. We'll talk royal wedding in hour number two. If you have any comments, questions, are going to weigh in on that, feel free to do that with the Penny for Your Thoughts segment in hour number two as Seal Otness from over at the University of Illinois, Otness, going to join us. But Carol Varell's with us right now.
Good morning.
You retired, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. But you're still here. No, you're actually you're working on something. But let me, before you get to your story, you're going to watch the royal wedding tomorrow. Are you getting up early?
I'm not sure how early I'm going to get up, but I'll definitely watch once I'm up. Yeah.
Do you always watch any royal happenings?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Are you kidding?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Curious.
Yeah, I actually taped I think Charles and Diana's wedding was on. They were replaying it.
Yeah.
I taped it. I just set the DVR and taped it. I'm going to go back and watch it again just to see what the TV coverage was.
Not quite 40 years ago. But, all those years ago, before all the current social media and spontaneous.
Well, Carol Varell was our news director for many, many years, of course, and now is retired, but still working for Crime Stoppers. And also you're doing a little work for the News Gazette because you're covering some cold cases, right?
Yeah, we're doing a special mainly podcast series that we're starting on this Sunday, and it's going to be on cold cases. Mm-hmm. And so it's a connection to Crime Stoppers, of course, trying to help give publicity to some of these old cold cases just to bring them back out to the public. Because in so many of these cases, you know, these were from like 1970s and 80s and even 90s. Those were the kind of cases I think we're going to be really focusing on. You know, the people involved or people who know something are getting up there in age.
Right.
And so, you know, it's as Lieutenant Kurt Apperson says that, you know, as you get older, you know, it's time to come forward before you meet your maker.
Mm-hmm.
and come clean. And so we're hoping that is what happens, that maybe some of the details of these old cases might stir something up in somebody's memory, maybe stir up conscience, mm-hmm. you know, for somebody who has really been reluctant to come forward and maybe now thinks, you know, I can do this now. Mm. You know, I'm ready to come forward, or I do know this, and maybe it will be, it's just something little, but gosh, that's the kind of thing that can break a case open. Mm-hmm.
Didn't seem important at the time, but
yes.
But might be.
Absolutely.
So your first case has to do, 33 years ago, the death of Carl Clinic psychologist Barbara Bremer.
Yes. Yes.
Tell me about that. Just kind of give me an overview.
Yeah,
I guess.
Very briefly. She had gone on a bicycle ride from her home in Southwest Champaign, and nobody ever saw her again. And this was 3 days before the Farm Aid concert at Memorial Stadium. And then 5 days after she disappeared, after she was last seen, a driver driving down Curtis Road saw something shiny at the edge of cornfield and went to investigate and found a bike and a woman's body. And then it was later identified as Dr. Barbara Bremer. So her body was found right near the intersection of South Rising Road and Curtis Road. Mm. You know, they had searched by air. They did all the searching that they could at the time, various police agencies and all kinds of friends and family and coworkers. The corn was up, and so it made it really hard to see anything in the cornfield. Mm. You know, even from the air.
Yeah. And they thought maybe she might have been hit by a piece of farm equipment or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, that's what the injuries that were uncovered in the autopsy indicated, that she would have been hit by something with a lot of force. So they figured it was probably a big piece of farm equipment that hit her while she was riding her bike.
And they were also looking up for leads regarding maybe sexual assault of some kind?
Yes, because her body, it looked like her body had been dragged into the cornfield. And so her body was found with her pants down. And so it appeared as though that there had been a sexual assault, but there was no evidence of a sexual assault in the autopsy. But that still leaves a lot of questions.
Right. So you talked to Kurt Apperson,
and J.R. Meeker. J.R. Meeker is an investigator with the Champaign County Sheriff's Office. Lieutenant Apperson heads up the Investigations Division.
I've known Kurt a long time. He's a good man.
He is. Very good man. Both of them are really super investigators.
So how many cases are you, I mean, this will be your first one coming
this
out.
This will be our first.
Are we talking 10, 12, or
well,
a lot more?
Surprisingly, there are a number, quite a few unsolved cases, and missing persons as well.
Yeah.
So we're going to be looking into not only homicide cases, but also missing persons cases, too.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a number of cases where somebody has been reported missing and they've never been heard from again, and there has been no body found. So, you know, we want to look into those as well.
So the outlets for this, you'll have a podcast, an article you've written.
Right. There'll be a story in the News Gazette on Sunday with ways to contact police with information. And also, of course, Crime Stoppers. You can remain anonymous by calling Crime Stoppers or going to the Crime Stoppers website, 373-TIPS, and reporting what you know. It's always anonymous. Everything is scrubbed, so nobody knows who you are. And you're not talking to any police official when you're contacting Crime Stoppers. It's all volunteers. Or you can contact Lieutenant Apperson or J.R. Meeker directly at 384-1213.
Okay.
Also, they'll be on the News Gazette website, news-gazette.com. There'll be a podcast with the expanded interview
with
Lieutenant Apperson and J.R. Meeker with all the details that we know at this time in a story, too, and some photos as well.
Yeah.
I've corresponded. Dr. Bremer's brother, who lives out in California, contacted me after the investigators told them that we're going to be doing this update. You know, as a courtesy, we always want to do that. mm-hmm. notify the family that we're going to be
right.
running the case again.
So they don't hear about it secondhand.
Right, yeah. right. And her brother sent me some photos, too. And so we'll be including those photos in the mm-hmm. News Gazette as well as on the website.
All right. So we'll look for that this weekend.
Yes.
Carol, good to
Sunday.
See you again.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me here. It's great to see you, too.
All right. And we will come back with more after this. Penny for your thoughts. Text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line in, talking about Elizabeth Hess. He says, I also agree that Mrs. Hess should keep her politics to herself. She's going overboard. That is from Terry in Champaign. Elizabeth gets a lot of fan mail. We're at 356-9397, and you can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line like Terry did there. Hawaii authorities handing out masks to protect people from ash. Residents bracing for an explosive eruption. They had a big one yesterday. Winds blew as much as 30,000 feet plume into the air. And by the way, this is the anniversary. 1980, Mount St. Helens. Isn't that ironic? Talking about the volcano in Hawaii, and we're talking, looking at the anniversary of 1980, Mount St. Helens exploded after being dormant for over 100 years. The blast was 500 times as powerful as the Hiroshima atomic bomb. Left 57 people dead. All right, we're going to talk royal family here in the next hour. We'll do that with the royal wedding coming up next on WDWS Champaign-Urbana. Your comments, emails, phone calls, texts, all welcome in the next hour on WDWS Champaign-Urbana.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
Back on Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS, busy morning today. Talk about the royal wedding here in just a moment. A couple of texts left over. One caller called in at the very end of the show after we'd gone to news, said, I love Elizabeth and like that she has her politics on. From Bill, he says, let Elizabeth Hess say what she wants. If you don't want to hear it, change stations. And then we got a text in from Bill. It says, it's hard for me to believe, but I had two friends murdered and a classmate, Teresa Wallace, they went missing in the late 1970s. None of the cases solved, and thanks for your work, Carol. Talking about Carol Varell and her work, and you can see her work in the News Gazette. She's going to be working with some cold cases, something she's very passionate about. And speaking of passion, we have someone here in our studio who's very passionate about all things related to the royal family, and her name is Seal Otness, professor of marketing in the Department of Business Administration at the Geese College of Business. And she's a Petullo professor.
That's right.
And I know Tony Petullo, so that's quite an honor.
And if he were here, he would be listening because he's quite the Anglophile.
Well, you are someone who has... how long have you been at the university, by the way?
This is the end of my 28th year as a proud Illini faculty member.
Mm-hmm. And you originally from?
Originally from New York and then Louisiana most of my life. Mm-hmm. So this today feels like a little bit like Louisiana.
Down there with the Cajuns,
that's
huh?
That's right,
yeah.
That's right.
Well, you are a royal watcher. And when I thought about the program, I thought, okay, I want somebody, A, who's very passionate about it, and B, knows what they're talking about. And I was told by multiple people, well, you got to talk to Seal. You got to talk to Seal. I'm thinking, well, who's that? And then it was like, then I got a chance to meet you. So
here I am.
Here you are. So you ready for the big day?
I am. And I want to clarify something. I'm actually a royal watcher, which means that I watch the people who watch the royal family. It's more, not so much that I was, you know, that I'm super interested, although you would be surprised how many royal family coffee mugs I now have that now that people know I study this. But it's more about what is making the royal family so sort of compelling to the rest of the world. And that's been a really fun topic. We did a research project project on it for 9 years, which ended up in a book that was published in 2015.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, you've written a lot of publications, right? Or I see your name pop up. When you Google your name, there's a lot of things that come up.
Well, I think it's because I study things that we spend a lot of money on and we don't understand why. And these primarily revolve around things like gift-giving and rituals and holidays. So, you know, when you're standing there looking at your, Christmas list and thinking, why do I have to buy all these people presents? That's the kind of thing I study. And it's very interesting because all of these occasions, especially the royal wedding, obviously have a lot of sociological and cultural significance. Mm-hmm. And that's why this thing has gotten blown up into, you know, you can Google tons of articles about how to throw your perfect party. And I read today on the news there's going to be street parties for dogs in Britain and all sorts of stuff. So it's kind of gotten to a slight level of kind of craziness. And, you know, we're all having some people are having a lot of fun with it just as an excuse to get together and eat lemon elderberry cupcakes, right?
Why are we so interested in this this time? I mean, we always are. I mean, you go back to Charles and Diana, you go back to, you know, obviously Kate and William, and now this. But
so in our book, we talk about how the royal family actually represents kind of it's what we would call a complex brand, and it's actually five kinds of brands. So if you think about like BMW, it might be more like a luxury brand and maybe a global brand. But the royal family is a luxury brand, and you know everything is always the best it can be, a global brand, and increasingly we have people all over the world who are fascinated by Britain and the royals, and of course their Commonwealth tours help this. It's a family brand, which means, you know, we have these, as we've seen definitely this week, kind of a lot of, you know, the issues that we all deal with as families, these crazy relatives and you know, how do we maintain the sort of stature of the family when we have some people doing things we can't control? It's also a human brand, so that means every single person in the royal family is his or her own brand in a way. And finally, and this, of course, is what would give it its significance compared to a lot of other brands, it's a heritage brand. So this brand started, if you want to put a date on it, at 1066, and when William the Conqueror, you know, was the first in the lineage, although they can date the lineage back even farther than that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, ever since then, there's been interest in it. This royal family is not the first to understand marketing. There was a great scholar at Yale who studied how Elizabeth I used to make all of the etchings in the Bibles likenesses of her. So she understood about how to brand herself. Henry VIII understood it. So there have been components of branding in this family for a long time.
And then, of course, all of that accelerated with the TV age.
Absolutely.
And the whole with Charles and Diana. Was that kind of the think the
well the very
what
first
lit the fire,
sort of real paradigm shift for the royal family in terms of the mass media age was the decision that Queen Elizabeth you know, for Queen Elizabeth to televise part of her coronation, and Prince Philip was instrumental in that. If you watched yet another version of the royal family, The Crown, they talk quite a bit about this decision. As soon as the mass media age came into play, the royal family began to realize they couldn't really keep the mystique around the family that they'd always had, because there was just too much demand to know and too much pressure. So radio was the first, then television, and of course social media has just made this thing explode. They're talking about the viewership tomorrow probably being over a billion, and that it was around that for William and Kate's wedding. But now we have sort of the soap opera-ish nature, and we have, you know, two countries very interested in this wedding, at least, in terms of the bride and the groom. Of course, we have many more countries than that interested.
Yeah, you had the king back that married Wallace Simpson, the American
Edward
divorcee.
Edward VIII, yes, who abdicated, and of course that was a great, quote, love story, but did change the way the royal family sort of its structure. So George VI, Queen Elizabeth's husband, became the king, and then she, of course, has been the longest reigning monarch. So, and I think that when that era passes, we'll see yet another huge outpouring of respect for the royal family, and perhaps some shakeups, you know, in the structure.
And the fact that Meghan Markle is an American,
yes,
that has fueled a lot of interest, you suspect, in our country.
Well, It's interesting because people can identify with her on a lot of different dimensions. She's American. She's divorced. She's biracial. She had her own career. She's a feminist. There was big discussion this morning about how when she goes down the aisle tomorrow, she's going to walk by herself with her party of, small attendants because she's not having sort of her own age of bridesmaids. And then Prince Charles is going to join her for part of that walk and, quote, not give her away. So it's kind of just like an escort, accompaniment.
Well, all the headlines today and early this morning were that Prince Charles comes to the rescue.
That's right. Yeah. Well, why not? We've got to spin it as another prince rescuing a damsel in distress, right?
That's right. 356-9397. We have Seal Otness with us from the University of Illinois. She's a royal watcher.
That's right.
So we'll specify that from over at the university. If you have any questions, why this? How come that? Why the tradition? Why that? I've got 17 rules of the wedding from this royal wedding that they have to follow. The first one is the bride must wear white, and the bride must also wear a tiara. There's two of the 17.
That's interesting. I hadn't seen this list, and of course there was a huge discussion about whether she should wear white because this is her second wedding. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, another book I'd written looks at weddings as consumer culture rituals, and I wrote that book early in 2003, and at that time there was some sort of bending of those rules. You were seeing pink and all these kinds of things. So celebrity weddings, of which we could sort of call her a celebrity, even though many people in Britain hate that when you call the royal family celebrities. They say they're above celebrity, right? They're not celebrities because celebrities don't get, anointed by God to be monarchs and this kind of stuff, right? So she probably could have broken that rule, but that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the tradition? Is it fruitcake? That goes back.
I think it was fruitcake, and she defied that. They defied that. Thank goodness, fruitcake. What a horrible tradition. So they're doing lemon elderberry cake, right? And so there's, of course, been quite a rush on this particular flavor combination for people having their own royal parties, including my own, I might add.
You're having one?
I am having a small gathering, mainly just an excuse to get together, but we're going to make fascinators, these hair pieces that you wear, and I went to Michael's last night and bought a bunch of stuff so we can make hats, and we'll make it kind of kitschy because and also it starts at 3 a.m. and no one's coming over at 3 a.m. We're gonna tape delay this thing.
Oh, you're not gonna get up at 3 a.m. to watch.
But
the...
I know people who are. That's part of the ritual for a lot of people because rituals upset our daily, structure and routine. If you think about, kids running down the stairs on Christmas morning at 5 a.m. and, having these huge meals that take all day, ritual time is not normal time. So getting up in the morning with, being groggy and drinking your tea and wearing your goofy fascinator is all part of it for a lot of people.
356-9397 is how you can join us. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Or you can email us, talk@wdws.com. Now, I know you're going to be watching that. You're going to be up at 3 a.m., right? You're going to be watching all the pre-show. I know the wedding itself takes place, at 6 a.m. our time?
So we're 6 hours, correct. We're 6 hours behind. So the wedding starts at noon. We have set our tape player for 3 a.m. because we checked to make sure when the coverage starts. So there will be 3 hours of palaver beforehand, dissecting every single thing happening. And we're going to hit the fast forward button quite a lot in that, I'm sure.
Because for us sports fans, the Super Bowl is kind of the pinnacle of football. So this would be the pinnacle of custom and tradition and everything else. Right?
I described this the other day when I was talking to another group as the aesthetic Super Bowl. So one thing that's very interesting about that is weddings have always sort of been more interesting as a feminine construction, right? So of course, when I was in Michael's with my husband last night, he was like, "No guy's gonna do that," and he was scoffing. So interestingly, as a consumer ritual scholar, you think, how can you involve the guys? Well, one of the ways that the British have traditionally done this, which taps right into something hugely important in their culture, is they name a lot of beers after the new royal couples. So in our book, Royal Fever, where we talk about the consumer culture and the British royal family, we have a whole table of all the names of the beers that were named when William and Kate got married. And I bet you if you Googled, Harry and Meghan beer, you would probably find lots.
Come up with something.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
All right. 356-9397 is how you can join us. We're here with our guest today, Seal Otness from the University of Illinois. And I believe Bob has a question for us. Bob, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Okay, you ready for my question?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, I just had my car radio on this and there, and I didn't catch it. How much you say this winning probably going to cost?
Oh, it's hard to tell because no one quite knows what the dress is yet, and that's a huge piece of this. It's going to cost in the millions of dollars, and about, I would say, over half of that is going to be security. Windsor is a very small town, and they've already practiced with the security guards and the police yesterday, and there's a lot of concern, frankly, about snipers and crazy people, so that's quite a bit of it, yes. On the other hand, I would say, and this may be where you're going, people are... Go ahead.
I like to put a twist on it.
Sure.
I'm just an average middle-class person, okay? And on a big show, spend billions and billions of dollars, yet there's still people starving to death on the streets, kids with no shoes, no clothes. To me, you know, I just feel like, well, just like our rich people here, Buffett and Rothschild and Gates, we got enough billionaires in this United States that could help, get rid of our debt and put everybody off the streets. I just think it's very selfish of these extreme rich people with their nose stuck up in the air, not helping their own people.
All right. Hey, thank you, Bob. And do some people in Britain feel that way?
I'm sure. This is a common criticism of the royal family in general. I'm not defending them, but I will say I know they're conscious of this criticism because one of the things this couple has done is, first of all, they limited the size of the wedding. And second, they've asked for no wedding gifts. They gave a list of charities they wanted their gifts to go to. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's not this. Anytime anybody has a big brouhaha, this is a common criticism.
Yeah,
I think though the royal family feels that it kind of owes this to the public, who are that the public would really be disappointed. Mm-hmm. The Queen once said, "I have to be seen to be believed," and also Queen Victoria after Prince. Albert died, went into mourning for like 20 years, and this caused a huge outcry among the British people because they felt like she was letting them down. They wanted to see her.
Right.
So I think there's been some lessons learned about that.
Yeah, plus it's just fun.
Right?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll come back with more with our guest after this. We're talking royal wedding. Got any comments, questions you want to throw in? Feel free after this.
With their new facility, Max Twin City Recycling brings recycling to a whole new level. Come see their new offices, and you'll like their new drive-through purchasing bay. Max Twin City Recycling makes it easy to recycle with a convenient drive-through and a drive-on scale. Their staff will help you with all your recycling. Recycling is a great way to conserve resources and put dollars in your pocket. Max Twin City Recycling, 2808 North Lincoln, Urbana.
Hi, it's Corey with Max Twin City Recycling. We pride ourselves on giving the area an outlet to recycle and get paid for their unwanted metals. We're taking our community focus a step further with our Recycling for a Cause program. Each month, Max Twin City will choose a different local charity to feature in an effort to raise money for those causes. Visit maxrecycling.com for a complete list of program details.
Whether you're heading to the beach, traveling for business, or on a family vacation, Central Illinois Regional Airport offers you the world. Connect anywhere you want to go with two of the world's largest airlines, Delta and American, right in your own backyard. Shorter lines, less hassles, and don't forget two nonstop destinations to Florida with Allegiant. Free parking options, easy to use, and when you get back, you can drive home in minutes. Central Illinois Regional Airport at Bloomington Normal means the world at your convenience.
Your heart. You probably don't think about it that often, but it's always there, beating over 115,000 times a day. But what if one day your heart doesn't function like it should? Will you know who to turn to for care? OSF Healthcare Cardiovascular Institute takes pride in being the destination heart program for the Champaign-Urbana community and a local choice for heart surgery. Learn how we can help keep your heart beating healthy at osfhealthcare.org/heart. That's osfhealthcare.org/heart.
Join Steve Kelly and Lauren Tate, Saturday Sports Talk, live from the Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast at Bromley Hall, 9 to 11, Saturday morning on DWS. Back on Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS. Illini baseball today at 4 o'clock now. They moved the game up a couple of hours. Want to tell you, if you're looking for a home, you don't know quite what you could be pre-approved for, you can find out today. Damian Spencer at Fisher National Bank, 1710 South Neal, is the guy to talk to. He's worked with Steve and Pam Starwalt for 10 years. He's been in the mortgage lending business for over 20 years. And Steve and Pam can get you lined up with Damian to find out, hey, what you'd be approved for. So you know what size house you're going to get. Maybe you're upsizing. Maybe you're downsizing. Who knows? But, you know, sometimes you go out there and go, I don't even know what I'd be able to get. Well, they can help you with that today. So if you're transitioning from one home to another, maybe your family's grown, maybe you've received a pay raise, you'd like to get a bigger place, or maybe the kids are on the way, the grandkids are moving in, or whatever. You can take advantage of the knowledge of Damian Spencer, Fisher National Bank, 1710 South Neal, locations in Champaign, Mahomet, and Fisher, but call 239-7156. That'll go to Pam and Steve, and then they'll get you in touch with Damian at Fisher National Bank. Let them fill you in on the information you need when you go look at homes this weekend. All right, but you got to watch the royal wedding first, and we've got Cee Lotness with us, and Nancy is here. Hi, Nancy. Good morning.
Good morning. My question was, how do you see the era of William and Kate and Harry and Meghan changing the face of the monarchy in the future?
Well, it's a great question because, as we discussed, we have a queen who's been on the throne longer than any other British monarch. There is a very great interest in what we are calling, they call the, quote, young royals, right? And this is the queen's grandchildren, essentially, and then her great-grandchildren. I think one of the ways that it's changed the face is that, of course, both of these young men's mother, Princess Diana, instilled in them a great sense of humanitarianism. And I think what's very interesting about these two women that William and Harry have chosen as their brides is that I sort of see Kate fulfilling, at this point, the very maternal side of Princess Diana. And I see Meghan kind of fulfilling the humanitarian side of Princess Diana. So in a way, they kind of, each of them married sort of half of their mom. But that could shift, you know, if Meghan and Harry have children. So I think what it's done is, you know, what does the world glorify? We glorify youth and beauty and energy. And I think that it's revitalized interest because, and every time William and Kate presumably Harry and Meghan go on these walkabouts or they go on these tours, they are reaching out to newer generations of the royal family that don't have these connections about how the family, you know, was bombed during the war and these kinds of things. So I think it's reinvigorating interest in the royal family is what I think, as in a different way.
Yeah, very good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Got to get to news headlines here with Michael Kaiser. More with our guest, Cee Lotness. A couple of other things, 17 rules of the wedding. We'll talk about these as we go in and out of breaks. But her bouquet must contain myrtle.
Uh-huh.
And the bride will then lay her bouquet at the tomb of the unknown warrior.
Yep.
And the groom must wear a military uniform. Those are some of the rules.
I didn't know that was a rule, but I think they look very spiffy in their military uniforms. But, of course, the great gag of the William and Kate wedding was they had a shot of William and Kate in their wedding apparel. And then they had this clip from the Disney movie Cinderella where the prince looked exactly like Prince William and the bride looked like Cinderella. And the stepsisters even looked like Eugenie and Beatrice. So one of the things I read, I don't think this is a rule, but it probably ought to be a rule, which is, you know, most of the guests have to wear a hat. Is that on your list?
Let's see here. Well, they have to adhere to a strict dress code, and the royal family must sit on the right side of the church.
Okay.
How about that?
Well, I read yesterday, and I thought this was really funny. A headline of one of the articles said, "Forget Meghan's dress. I want to know what hat Beatrice is wearing." Because at William and Kate's wedding, she wore the famous, quote, toilet hat, which was this giant hat that looked sort of like the magic mirror that the Queen stared into in Snow White. And the last laugh was on her because she sold that for charity for £133,000 or dollars or whatever. And, you know, that just goes to show that I think the marketplace almost chronically always underestimates if a royal person has owned something, what the value is going to be, because there are auctions all the time of their stuff, and they always say, oh, this necklace will sell for like $3,000, and then it sells for $8,000. And I think people underestimate the importance of having owned something that someone else actually possessed in that circle.
All right, back with our guest. More on the royal wedding. Your questions after the news with Michael Kaiser.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS.
Well, you're going to probably hear that tomorrow, somewhere along the way, right?
Yes, and it's interesting, a couple of things about that. First of all, there are lots of verses, so I'm glad you played the short verse. And also, it used to be the case that in the movie theaters in Britain, you had to stand up and sing that song or acknowledge that song before any movie aired. So they took that tradition away. There have been a few watering downs of traditions with respect to royalty. You don't technically have to curtsy anymore, but I think most people feel that they want to. It's kind of a special thing, you know?
So. Yeah, I saw a clip of her when the Queen came to the United States about 91, 92, and she was speaking to the joint session of Congress, and they were prepping her, saying, hey, there's going to be people reach out and try to shake your hand or touch you or whatever. Just be ready for that.
Uh-huh. Well, we're Americans. Yeah, that's what Meghan Markle says. I'm American. I hug. And Michelle Obama put her arm around the Queen, and that was just like there's a collective clutching of pearls around the world as that happened. So, you know, the Queen is adaptable, though. Remember, she, quote, jumped out of the plane at the Olympic Stadium in her famous skit. So.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Carl. Good morning, Carl.
Hi. I just want to let you know that I'm on my cell phone, parked in a grassy area, getting ready to do some more work. I'm 68 years old, and I want to comment on the people spending money for different things. A lot of times on the news, people hear about all the people that gave money to this and that was great. But we don't know what people do in their private time, how much money they've given to different things. You talk about Bill Gates, talk about Bill Britt, talk about people in Champaign, George Chaplin, anybody. What have they done? I'm sure they've given things away, but also they may have started out as a middle class person, and they worked. Not worked, but the choices they made. Maybe they gave up a marriage. Maybe they people laughed at them when they had a chicken farm and it went under, but now they're having a sawmill like my cousin does. And he works, and he's 88 years old, still working 17-hour days. But, a lot of people, some people have good luck, and maybe they can become president, or maybe they own real estate, or maybe they marry a royal. That's wonderful. They spend that money on everything. They don't have to spend everything on everybody. Otherwise, everybody be still in the caves. They won't come out and go get that saber-toothed tiger or that other building to make extra money. And I apologize to the person that's I'm sure she's not there in the studio, and if she is, wonderful, but if I was written that book or whatever, I would be talking to you on the phone so I could save some money on things. But I get so fed up with people that cut down people that have worked hard. Things did work out. We don't know. Remember Abe Lincoln? How many times did he fail to become president? I'm jealous he's president, but you know, I could rant and rave, but I'm not. And I, even though I'm 68, I'm not running for president. I did outdoors last summer because I wanted a home, and I got 8 no's, so I was getting kind of excited because I was told 10 no's is what you got to get. By the 10th no, somebody said, have you heard the rural development program? So I got out of my comfort zone. I found out what I had to do, and I got a home in another city. But anything else, we all have to work to get what we want. And then, I'm happy for anybody around me that has worked hard and got what they wanted.
Well, thank you, Carl.
Spent the extra money. Bye.
Appreciate it. Yeah, the spending related to this, not just from the Royals, but in regards to the merchandise, $1.43 billion. Is what I saw.
Well,
in connection to
the spending related to this, I don't know how far they're reaching. If they're talking about people who are jumping on airplanes to attend, I mean the memorabilia market alone, which was one of our foci of the book, is fascinating because not all that money is being spent on reverent memorabilia. You know, we have T-shirts that say "It should have been me, Harry," and you know, one of the commemorative plates is, you know, because it's H&M, like Harry and Meghan, they've done the H&M logo from that brand of sort of fast fashion brand, which is kind of ironic because, you know, that's a very sort of inexpensive brand. And so it doesn't surprise me. The royal family is a huge economic generator. However, and again, I'm just presenting both sides of the story. It's not necessarily my opinion. The defenders of the royal family brand would argue that we have to look at figures such as quoted in Forbes magazine, that this is an $80 billion global brand. And if you think about what that means, so for example, let's say Prince Charles and Camilla have just gotten back from Australia, which is true. Mm-hmm. What does it do to the Australians' desire to remain adhered to to Britain through tourism, through, you know, they're watching movies that are made, through just sort of supporting cultural activities because Charles and Camilla came down there and did their walkabouts and engaged with the culture of Australia? I think that, honestly, I would guess that any financial assessment of this brand is an underestimate. So,
all right, we're with Seal Otness from the University of Illinois. She's a Petullo professor over there. And let's go to Jim. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Good, beautiful morning to you both. Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
I have more a comment than a question. I'm glad to see the fanfare around it. Obviously, other people are if there's going to be a billion people watch it. And I'm a Republican. I'm going to throw that in there. There are wealthy people. There are always going to be poor people. And if somebody has money and has the ability to have a grand wedding or a couple nice cars in their driveway, more power to them. And I'm 55 years old, and this is one of the things I can remember over many years is the royal family and the fanfare and the neatness about it. And I'm still holding on to stuff because every day we lose a tradition or something neat that I think of my past kind of goes away. So more power to them. I hope it goes down without any kind of incident. And I'll get up and watch it.
Well, good. We hope you will. And Fox News Channel, they're coming on at 4 o'clock. Live coverage available on CBS, and it's live streaming site at 3 a.m., Today's show on NBC, 3:30 a.m., 4:30 a.m. Eastern, 3:30 Central, according to Harper's Bazaar. So there you go.
Well, I wanted to respond to that comment.
Thank you.
I wanted to respond. I thought that what that caller exemplified was absolutely nostalgia in a nutshell. You know, again, we've got a queen who's been on the throne since 1953. Although she acceded the throne, which means she actually took over in 52, but you don't have a coronation for over a year almost because it's considered disrespectful to celebrate a new monarch when you're mourning the old monarch.
Wow.
So that's one of the reasons.
Tradition.
You notice they can put together things pretty quickly when they want to in the royal family because they did for this wedding.
That's right.
But So since we've had a queen here with us, you know, this many years, when she passes away, that's going to be a moment in history that we won't, that will really resonate with so many people. One thing that's interesting to me is that for most of us, the queen has always been sort of middle-aged or old. But when she and her sister emerged from hiding in Windsor Castle during World War II, where they were protected from the bombs, mm-hmm. They were beautiful young ladies who started re-energizing sort of the fashion and youth scene of Britain. I mean, they had, you know, these teeny little waspy waists, and they were both 5'1" and 5 feet tall, and, you know, beautiful, demure young ladies. And we don't really remember them unless you watch The Crown, and then you see that.
Right.
Which is, of course, one of the reasons why it's so popular, because it's taking us back to times that most of us have forgotten. So I think that's a really significant comment, is that we cannot underestimate the heritage part of this brand and the fact that through these media spectacles, these things become part of our lives. You know, I remember where I was when I heard when Princess Diana was killed.
Mm-hmm.
This, and it's kind of that moment that people had in the generations before that of where were you when JFK was killed,
right.
When you learned
or
that.
Or when FDR died for
exactly.
An older generation.
Exactly.
Right. Back in a moment, 1049, Seal Otness from over at the University of Illinois, a royal watcher, going to be watching the royal wedding tomorrow morning. Back in a moment. I feel like I ought to talk like Alistair Cook, right?
That's right.
Yeah. There it goes. Yeah, I just Googled royal wedding music.
There we go.
I got a whole list of stuff.
This reminded me I need to pull out my banquet from Henry VIII banquet CD that I have for tomorrow.
All right, we're talking the royal wedding here with Seal Otness. She is over at the University of Illinois. We appreciate her being with us today. And we're just talking royal wedding. Any comments, questions, things, thoughts you want to throw in, feel free to do that either by the phone, email, or text. I will tell you, of course, Snooze Luxury Mattress Shop, you want to sleep in a certain point, maybe this afternoon, get an early nap in or something. But if you want to do that, a great place to go to is the Snooze Luxury Mattress Shop. Over there now with This Is It Furniture at Country Fair Shopping Center, all under one roof, under Big Mike Namoff's direction. Of course, you know Mike. He's a guy that's been around town. He's helped numerous charities with his auctions and with his work for different organizations. I can relate personally with the Tom Jones Challenger League. He's been a big boost for that organization and just raised lots of money. He's a guy that has a big family. He's heavily involved in our community. Now he has a couple of places. This Is It Furniture and Snooze Luxury Mattress Shop. They have the reveal machine at Snooze that'll kind of point out the pressure points where you sleep and why you have trouble sleeping, and maybe you need a firm mattress, maybe you need a softer mattress. Whatever the case may be, don't know what the royals sleep on, but they would probably go to Snooze Luxury Mattress Shop and get what they need if they wanted to do that. So anyway, stop by there, visit Big Mike, say hello. This Is It Furniture for all your furniture needs and your Snooze Luxury Mattress Shop as well. All right, 356-9397. A couple of other things. It says, expect obey to be taken out of the vows. In 1981, Princess Diana declined to include the traditional pledge to love, comfort, and obey her husband. Instead, changed it to love, honor, comfort, and keep. The Duchess of Cambridge did the same thing during her wedding to Prince William, and Meghan is expected to keep that new tradition. So I found that interesting.
That makes sense to me. I think, you know, we talked about the royal family being comprised of human brands, and I think every human brand has sort of got a differentiating kind of dimension. And so one of the reasons I think the interest of this wedding is so high is that Harry's always been the sort of rapscallion, the black mm-hmm. sheep of this brand. You know, it hasn't been that many years since he was playing strip billiards in Las Vegas or, you know, wearing a Nazi uniform at a Halloween party. Of course, he was much younger then mm-hmm. in his 20s. And of course, he's reinvented himself as this advocate for injured war veterans. Mm-hmm. Now he was a soldier. Meghan's differentiating benefit, I think, for a lot of people is her feminism. You know, she's going to try to speak about trying to remain a strong and powerful woman. She's done this in front of the UN. She's invited some folks to the wedding, young girls that she's met in her experiences that have had struggles and, you know, trying to overcome them to come to the wedding. So I think if everyone can get past the fact in Britain that she hugs everyone, she can do a lot of good. I mean, the British are very reserved, and I think that's going to be a very interesting cultural shift for her.
I was going to say the Americans are more huggers than the Brits, so
yes,
that's for sure. All right, back with more in just a moment here after this. Little royal wedding music, water music.
I'm craving tea and a scone about right now.
Theo Lotness is with us for a couple more minutes here. A couple other traditions. The bride's wedding ring must contain Welsh gold, and there will be a formal wedding portrait.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, yes. And one would expect that given all the finery, right, which is what a lot of people are looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, there's a lot of this to enjoy and take in. By the way, a caller called in said Comcast Channel 173 is BBC, which they'll probably be on all 24 hours.
Right, and then you get to enjoy all the accents, which is, you know, a big part of it as well.
So what are you going to look forward to the most? I mean, there's a lot to for you to enjoy, but the big moment for you.
I really look forward to the fashion. You know, I really enjoy the fashion show element of it. I enjoy just seeing the crowd, kind of how they react, because as we talked about, the Brits are kind of reserved, but, you know, they kind of blew that out of the water when Princess Diana's funeral happened. You know, there was this outpouring of grief. And I think, surprisingly, they kind of go to town in Britain for this. You know, they wear funny hats, they wear signs, all sorts of activities like that. So that'll be fun.
Now, you were just telling me about a program you're going to be on. Who did this?
So ABC is doing a documentary that will air. It's a four-hour documentary this summer called The Story of the Royals, and it will air in August. Mm-hmm. And it is really about the fascination with royalty all over the world. So I know that crew is right there in Windsor today. Mm-hmm. Just did another documentary for Northeastern University with the undergrads yesterday. So there's quite a lot of interest in this, and I think, you know, it'll be hard to escape it for a while.
Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having
me. We could do 5 hours on this.
Well,
we're out of time. So
yes.
Thank you very much. Theo Lotness from the University of Illinois. Enjoy the weekend, everybody, on WDWS. Champaign-Urbana, back on Monday.